Good morning. Today's daf in Sota Lamed Vav. Thank the Masuth family of West Orange, New Jersey for sponsorship of the entire Masechta. Learning that we're doing Shabila Zecher Nishmas Nechemia Ben Avraham. We are right in the middle of Lamed Hey Amud Beis Tana Rabbanan. We're going to be starting with a Braisa. Ketzad Kasu Yisrael Satara. How did the Jewish people write the Torah specifically on the stone? So yesterday and the last number of days here in the seventh parak of the Masechta of Sota, we have been discussing a lot of Agadata, but Agadata explaining Pesukim in the Torah, and specifically the stones that were set up by Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Stones that were set up by Har Gerizim and Har Eval eventually were deposited in a hotel proximate to Gilgal. So, and we learned yesterday that there were three Hakamas, three times that the stones were set up, once by Moshe and twice by Yehoshua, once by Moshe and then a second time, or really the first time for Yehoshua, that was set up by the Yarden, and then eventually a third time that was set up in Gilgal. Okay, trying to wrap my head around the idea of whether or not there was one set of stones that were just set up in different locations, or three actual different sets of stones. Not totally sure about that, but regardless, so there were three times that we had a Hakama. That's what we learned yesterday in the Braisa. We also know that on the stone, so the entirety of the Torah was written. Now, I say the entirety of the Torah. Now, does that mean letter for letter? The entirety was written on a stone, okay, and in 70 different languages, which is what we learned. We learned yesterday. So that's a lot of writing, and that's all to be accomplished in one day. And it's a little bit hard to imagine, but so what? It's hard to imagine. In other words, the Yarden was split for them. So the Yarden split for them is also hard to imagine. But meanwhile, it happened. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously can allow things to happen that doesn't fall under the normal, natural order of things. So the idea that a Torah could be written within one day, although difficult for us to conceive, but okay, they lived in extra special time. So it's not crazy to suggest. So the entirety of the Torah was written. So Tana Rabbanan, so the Gemara over here now is going to give us a little more on the specifics of the writing of the Torah on these stones. Now remember, the purpose of the writing of the Torah, and specifically in 70 language, is so that this Torah now would be broadcast to the world at large. There are other Gemaras, by the way, which seem to be competing a little bit against what we are learning right now, because there is other Gemaras that would seem to indicate that Goyim should not be learning the Torah, and the Torah should be within the exclusivity of the Jewish people. And meanwhile, over here, it's simple pshat. And that is that the purpose of the writing in multiple languages, in 70 different languages, is so that, in fact, the Torah will be broadcast to the entire world. So, obviously, what I'm basically posing is a little bit of a problem, somewhat of a conundrum. Should the Torah be broadcast to the world at large, or should it not be? Okay, I'm not here to resolve that right now. I'm simply presenting it. But meanwhile, all we need to know for our Gemara today is that clearly it was for the purpose of public display and public learning. In other words, so that the people, the world population should be learning the Torah. Tana Rabbanan, with all that stated. I assume the Hebrew is one of the 70 languages.
I could be wrong,
but I assume that's in fact so. Okay, but doesn't mean I'm right, but Tana Rabbanan. So we're now on Laman Hamad Beis. We're right at the midway point of the Amud. So how exactly is the Torah going to be written? So on these stones, so Rabbi Yehuda Omer al Gabi Avanim Ksuva Kasvu Shenemar Vechasavta al Avanim is called Divrei HaTorah Zos. And Acher Kach Sadu Osan Besid. So Rabbi Yehuda takes a really interesting position, which is that they're written on the stones and afterwards plaster is put on top of the writing. The obvious question, which the Gemara now, Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, so Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, Lidvarecha, hech lamdu omo sholo so azman Torah. So Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, well, that seems to be totally counterproductive. In other words, the writing of the Torah, specifically in all the languages, is so that the world would be able to see it, read it, learn it. And now what are you going to do? You're going to put plaster right over the lettering? That's weird. Counterproductive. So Amar lo bina yisera nasa ma'amakash baruch hu v'shigru no tiran shalahenim. So Rabbi Yehuda in his defense will say that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for the Jewish, for the non-Jewish world, for the world population is bina yisera. He gave them basically extra insight in which they're going to send their sofrim v'kipul as I said v'hisi'uha. They're going to peel off the plaster and they're going to copy down exactly what's written on it. V'al davar zeh nit chatem gzar dinam. Lever Shachas, Shahayam Lamlomar Velo Lamdu. And Rav Yehuda then goes on to defend his position, and that is that because they did have the ability to remove the plaster, copy down with that which was written, and disseminate that to the world population, they didn't do so. Therefore, they're going to have liability for not having learned. Okay, so the first position regarding the writing of the Torah on these stones is that they were written and then plastered over the writing. Okay, and the purpose of which. Meaning, why plaster over the writing? So really, what seems to be at the forefront of the sheet of Rav Yehuda is he's trying to balance the pesukim. Because the pasuk does indicate that there's a plaster that's going to be put on top of them. But meanwhile, it is difficult to understand. In fact, we just saw together, Rabbi Shimon really struggling to understand the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon has a different sheet. The Gemara, the Braisa here introduces us to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Agabi Sid Kasvua v'chasvu lahen lamata lamana sher yilamdu aschem lasos kechol halamata shimayu chozim b'tshuva hayu mekalmanosam. So Rabbi Shimon says, first and foremost, the plaster went on first. In other words, you had the stone, and then on top of the stone you had the plastering, and over the plastering, now you had the ksiva. The writing of the Torah was done over the plaster. That's point number one, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon makes a secondary point as well. And that is that we have psukim in Parsha Shoftim. This is Perek Chaf of Dvarim. The psukim go on to read, I'm just citing some of the psukim that the Gemara did not cite. Lo sichaya kol neshama ki acharim tacharim ein. That when we go into Eretz Yisrael, so we have to go ahead and we have to wipe out the population there in Eretz Yisrael, meaning all the Canaanim living in Eretz Yisrael. But according to Rabbi Shimon, there's an important continuation. You got to keep reading. Laman, this is the pasuk that the Gemara actually quotes. Laman asher yilamdu aschem lasos kichol, meaning why? And that is because if we leave them there, they're going to serve as a bad influence. Okay. In other words, you go through the Navi, you go through Sefer Yoshua, you go through Sefer Shoftim. And basically what you recognize is that, well, Sefer Yoshua, less so. Sefer Shoftim, you see it really clearly, and that is that we did not do a good job in terms of wiping out the population, and they served as a bad influence. Sefer Shoftim, again and again, we kept going back to Avodah Zarah. And again, we're fighting. We're fighting all the local inhabitants because apparently they were not fully removed. But according to Rabbi Shimon, this is the critical point. Meaning the removal of the Canaanim from Canaan is because they serve as a bad influence. And now that brings us to our final point of Rabbi Shimon. And that is, She'im hayu chozim b'tshuva hayu mekabel mosam. So let's say you had a Canaanite not living in Canaan, and after Bnei Yisrael settle Eretz Yisrael and get rid of all the locals, let's say you have a Canaanite who happened to have lived outside of Canaan. Right, knocks on the door, right, goes to the border and says, I want to be chozer b'tshuva, meaning, I'd like to enter into Eretz Yisrael, right, he's asking for a visa or, you know, for a green card, but with the commitment, I know I'm giving modern terminology, but with the commitment that he's going to not be over to Avodah Zarah, he's going to be ger. Now here, ger toshav, ger tzedek, unclear, unsure, but he's going to, whatever, he's making commitments. According to Rabbi Shimon, acceptance, meaning you can accept it. So this is obviously now for Rav Shita's Rabbi Shimon incorporated within the Shita. First of all, the sequence of how to write the Torah on the stones, obviously he argues with Rav Yehuda. But then the fine print that you write underneath, and that is that our need to get rid of the Canaanim in Canaan is not because they're Canaanim, but simply because they're going to be a bad influence. Now, when we go into Eretz Yisrael, no difference, meaning you got to get rid of all of them. But subsequently, what that means is that if there is a Canaanite living outside of Canaan who is no longer under this instruction of hacharim tacharimim, so now what you could do is that when he requests to come in and he wants to be a chozer b'tshuva, you can accept him. Amar Rava b'vishila ma'itam to Rabbi Shimon, and the basis for Rabbi Shimon, meaning how does he know? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, and the Gemara now. Meaning, when the Gemara is now asking my time with Rabbi Shimon, as I just pointed out, Rabbi Shimon's saying a lot of things. Meaning, it's not just limited to how to write. So this my time with Rabbi Shimon right now is going back on the first point of Rabbi Shimon. That first plaster and then writing. Dichsiv, so the Gemara says, because we have a pasuk, Yishayahu, Vayu Amim, Misrafos Sid. And according to Rabbi Shimon, Al Iske Sid. Meaning that pasuk is to be understood that that it was written on top of the plaster. The Rebbe Yehuda ki sid ma'asid ein lo takana el asreifa af osam akusim ein lanim takana el asreifa. And as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, he also knows the pasuk in Yeshayahu, and he's going to tell you that the comparison to Sid is not about how to write the Torah on the stones, but rather just simply a comparison, side by side comparison. Just like Sid is going to be burnt, so too the Umos HaOlam are also going to be burnt as well. Okay, Kaman Azla HaDetanya. Now wrapping up this machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the writing of the Torah on the stones for purposes of public broadcasting of the Torah to the Umos HaOlam. And now, according to Rabbi, and now we had a technical machlokus about whether writing then plaster or plaster then writing. And on top of that, also another seemingly machlokus regarding whether or not our requirement to get rid of all the kananim is because they're kananim or simply because they're serving as a bad influence. And Rabbi Shimon takes the latter approach. Now the Gemara says, "Come on, Azla Hadetanya. Let's take the following into consideration." We know at the beginning of Parshas Ki Seitzei, so the Torah allows for the following, a heter. And that is that when you're going to war and you're a soldier and you're in the battlefield, so you could take a captive back home with you. Hmm. A female captive back home with you. Right? And obviously a lot more details to discuss regarding that, but for our purposes right now, I'm just going to focus on the one singular point that the Gemara here wants to make. And that is that in this Braisa, right, Vishavisa Shivyo, you're going to take back a captive, and Larabos, Kananim, Shibachutzaritz. And according to this Braisa, let's say the captive you happen to take is a Kanani. Now, we're not talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi makes this point really clear. And that is that the Kiseitze Heter is only when we're leaving Eretz Yisrael for purposes of annexation, otherwise known as Melchemes Rishos. Right? There's Melchemes Mitzvah and there's Melchemes Rishos. Melchemes Mitzvah is conquering Eretz Yisrael proper. That's Melchemes Mitzvah. Melchemes Rishos is that when we're leaving the borders of Eretz Yisrael for the purposes of annexation. So in doing so, that's Mechemes Rishus. Now, based on the decision made by the king, so in consultation with the Urim Vitumim, but so there is an opportunity, there are options for annexation. So when you're doing Mechemes Rishus, so then you have the heter of Vishavisa Shivyo. All we know right now is that the Kiseitze heter of taking back a captive is only when leaving Eretz Yisrael proper. Here's what the Brice is adding. Eretz Yisrael proper, and it happens to be the captive under discussion happens to be a Kanani. In other words, her family left Canaan, right? When the Jews went in, so they decided, you know what? Let's leave. They left Canaan, and it happens to be the captive you found was a Kanani. In this Braisa, included in the Heter, meaning you could take her back home with you. Ah, but she's a Kanani. Exactly. Meaning that's exactly the point of the Braisa. And the Gemara says, now, Shim Chosim B'Shuvah Mekamah Mosam. So, come on, Karebi Shimon. So now, as we're on the top of Lamed Vavam and Aleph, so the Gemara now tells us that is going in accordance with Shitas Rebbe Shimon. Exactly. Meaning Rebbe Shimon is the one who's Dorish Taima Dekra, the Hacharem Tacharem requirement going into Eretz Yisrael is not because they're Kananim, but because they're bad influence. Hence, once leaving Eretz Yisrael and then want to come back, so they are allowed to come back. Okay, and they therefore that brisa that says that Vishavisa Shivyo is going even on a Kanani, that's Lefishitas Rabbi Shimon. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first point for today. Kim Boere Kamanisim Nasu Oso Ayom. Okay, we're on the very top of Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and now Oso Ayom, the crossing of the Yarden. So that was an exciting day, and on that day many different things happened. And here the brisa is going to list all the things that occurred on that day. So, according to this Braisa, they crossed the Yarden. That's number one. Number two, they went to Hargrizim and Har-Eval, and that's more than 60 mil away. Now remember, by the way, we just got gone over Machlokas Tanayim, where Hargrizim and Har-Eval is. Obviously, this Braisa that we just quoted is of the position that it's in not immediately after crossing the Yarden, but interior. So it is westbound, and westbound by 60 kilometers, approximately, from the Yarden. They had no stumbling blocks, right? In other words, they had a clear route from the Yarden to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Now, anyone who tried to get in their way as they're walking from Yarden to the mountains, so immediately nitraz. Nitraz, so Rashi over here. No, not Rashi over here. Okay, sorry. Anyway, Rashi over here. Yeah, I'm sorry. I had a moment of buffering in my brain. Rashi over here. So Rashi over here says that they they lost control of their bowel movement. Okay, in other words, they just HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that nobody was going to interfere in terms of the pathway from the of Bnei Yisrael from the Yarden to Har Gerizim Har Eval. As Imasi Shenamar. Sorry, the Gemara quotes the pasuk and say Masi Ashalech Lefanecha VeHamosi Es Kol Ha'am Asher Tavo Bahem. So Zubi Arishona and Ad Yavoram Zukanisa and Zubi Ashnia. So Emor Miata, I'll just finish reading and then we'll go back and we'll explain a little bit better. Ruyim Hayusola Soslam Nez Bibi Ashnia, Kibi Arishona, El Shigar Machi. This idea that we're going to have access, an easy access. So the Gemara just cited a number of psukim that would indicate that. The end of Parshas Mishpatim is Emasi. In Az Yashir, Tipol Lehima Imasava Fachad. So these psukim are clear indicators that we're just going to walk right into Eretz Yisrael. We're going to march right in, and even after we cross the Yarden, we're going to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. So again, we're going to walk back in. And another point that we just went over is that that's true in both times that we went into Eretz Yisrael, the Yehoshua occasion, that's Bi'ah Rishona, and then fast forward now an additional. Okay, now this is. Later. This is about 900 years later, approximately. So, and this is Bi'ah Shniya, right? What the academics refer to as the Second Commonwealth, right? In other words, Bimei Ezra. So we go into Eretz Yisrael again. And that is what's considered the Bi'ah Shniya. And over there, what was supposed to happen, same thing. We were supposed to be able to just march right in. Now, here's, of course, the problem. The problem is that that's not what happened. Meaning for Bi'ah Shniya, what do? So we went to Koresh, we went to Dar Yavish, we asked permission to build the Beis HaMikdash, we got their permission. It's not the way that the Torah designed it to be. In other words, Bi'ah Rishona, Bi'ah Shniya, where they were supposed to be just easy access, easy entrance. And the Braisa acknowledges that, and the Braisa says, yeah, but that was Grama Chet. In other words, because of the Chet, the Braisa over here does not tell us what Chet we are describing over here. Which Chet we're describing over here? Rashi writes, that which chet are we describing over here? The chataim that occurred during Bayis Rishon. Okay. So because of the chet, so therefore, Bayis Sheni had to have been a more political maneuver of asking permission from the local government at the time, that was the Persians, in order to allow us back entrance into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Adkan. Okay. So what do we have so far in the Braisa? Many things that occurred in that day. Okay, may I, please? Okay, as I pointed out already numerous times, way too many times, and that is that I don't know Navi as well as I should. So meanwhile, what my Chavrus and I did this morning is challenge each other. Where is Har Gerizim and Har Eval in Sefer Yehoshua? Meaning, so in other words, according to what we just learned together, where should I expect it to be? Somewhere within the Perek of crossing of the Yarden, right? That obviously is a setup question. Wrong. The crossing of the Yarden.
Jericho, no.
The crossing of the Yarden is in Perigimel of Sefer Yehoshua. Now, admittedly, by the way, the stones are mentioned in the very next Perik, in Perik Dalid, but then Har Gerizim and Har Eval, so it is tucked away. Okay? If you would have asked me before this morning, I would have failed. Why am I publicly admitting that? I don't know. So anyway, but I would have failed. It is at the end of Periches, right? After the conquest of Ai, the city of Ai. So in other words, we are past Jericho, that's Perek Zion, and Periches, Ai, the conquering of the city of Ai. So that's all Perek Zion and, Jericho is Perek Vav. Ai is Perek Zion and Perek Ches, because remember, there was two parts to the city of Ai. The failed attempt and then the successful attempt. Anyway, so then I talked away at the end, meaning I'm in Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed, Az Yivne Yehoshua Mizbech LaHashem L'Kei Yisrael, Bahar Eval. And then the brachos and the klalos by Har Grizim and Har Eval, tucked away in Paraches. And now, all this brings me back to our Gemara over here, because what we're learning together right now is that it was Ba'oso Ayom, it was on the same day. Okay, and Rashi will tell you, good. That's what Rashi will tell you. Rashi will tell you, Muktam Amucha B'Torah. And Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah is not only by Torah, but also by Navi as well. It, of course, begs the question, why doesn't the Navi put them together? Meaning, we know Ein Muktam Amucha B'Torah, but obviously the Navi is designed, right? It's Nevuah. So there must be a reason, and I don't have an offering over here for us, but certainly I'm giving all of us something to think about, right? Why is the Parsha of Har Grizim and Har Eval put much later after the passage of the Yardim and tucked away at the end of Parakhes? And as long as I'm throwing out questions, just one more question for consideration, and that is if you look at the very beginning of the Parsha of Har Grizim and Har Eval, it says, Az Yivne Yoshua Mizbeach. And the word Az translates as then, meaning seems to be, it's at that point in time, meaning after Yericho, after Ai. The simple reading of the Psukim is not the way the Bryce is presenting it over here. Okay. Just gave everyone something to think about. We're going to go on.
Question, buddy.
I just asked questions. Yeah, go ahead.
So you're talking about 3 million people, right?
Yeah. Okay. They're...
No, you're talking 3 million people crossing the Yarden and walking 60 mil
right.
Within one day?
Right. Right.
That's like just on foot.
We're correct. That's why the Bryce says, Ba're Kamanisim. Right. In other words, in the natural order of things, it's not going to work. That's why the Brisa says it's al derech nis.
It's like 35 miles.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. I'm with you.
So you're mobilizing 3 million people.
Right. That's why the Brisa says...
5 miles in one day.
Understood.
On foot.
Good. Good. It's al derech nis. That's exactly what the Brisa is saying.
Transportation in those days. That would be normal for them.
Okay. The And afterwards, they brought the stones. Okay, we are continuing the Brisa. This is just where we left off, and we are still on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. We're towards the top of the Amud, about a quarter of the way down. So ve'achar kach hevi'u avanim. Afterwards, they brought the stones. So in other words, these are the stones that were brought from the Yarden. So it's es hamizbeach. I'm sorry, uvanu es hamizbeach v'sadu b'sid. So now with these stones, they built the mizbeach. They plastered v'kasvu aleihem. It's called divrei. HaTorah b'shivan lashon, and they wrote the entirety of the Torah in 70 languages, shenemar be'er heitev. In other words, and that is the understanding of the psukim back in the Chumash at the end of Sefer Dvarim, be'er heitev. Be'er heitev means make it clear for everybody. Ve'he'alu olos u'shlamim v'achlu v'shasu v'samchu. And offering karbanos, both olos and shlamim, they ate, they drank, they rejoiced. U'berchu v'kililu. And the brachos and klalos also came at that point in time. V'kiplu es ha'avanim, and then afterwards, they removed the plaster. Banu v'lanu b'Gilgal. We went back to Gilgal, and we spent the night in Gilgal. Shenemar, and over here, v'avartam osam imachem, inachtam osam b'malom. And what you're going to do is you're going to take these stones, and you're going to put in the malom. B'chol malon n'malon. Now, I might have thought that it would have been, yachol. B'chol malon n'malon. I might have thought that would have been in every hotel. Tamalom, Rosh Hashanah, Bo Alayla. And the Braisa says no. In other words, only in one malon. Uksiv v'shtem esrei avanim ha'ela asher lakhu, and that's the end of Perek. That's the end of Perek Dalet and Yoshua. So the note all those miracles. So on that day, crossing of the Yarden, going to Har Grizim and Har Eval, 60 kilometers, and then going from Har Grizim and Har Eval back to Gilgal. And not only that, but the brachas that were done on Har Grizim and Har Eval, and the return, and the removal of the plaster, and the setting up of the stones in the by Gilgal, all that occurred according to this brisa, b'yom echad on one single day. And now, or in other words, just reiterating what I pointed out earlier, meaning, and now you're going to go through the psukim in Yoshua, and you're really going to have to bounce around, meaning you're going to go do Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet. Then you're going to go to the end of Periches, because that's where the brachas of Har Grizim and Har Eval are. And then you're going to go back to Perek Dalet, in terms of chronology. Okay, good. Tana. Okay, a little bit more about the crossing of the Yarden. Tzira lo avrei imahem. You know, the Tzira didn't join them. Now, we're talking about the Tzira, so what are we talking about? some sort of miraculous weapon that we had. Okay, the Tzir translates as some sort of bug, right? What's his translation?
Flying insect.
Okay, but we're saying the same thing. Good. Let's take a look at Psukim in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, right? The Vishilachti. Sorry, let me read that better. Vishalachti esetzir lefanecha vegershas achivi esekanani veesachitim lefanecha. So the end of Parshas Mishpatim. So a description of Kadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm going to send this these weapons into Canaan, and it's just going to chase away all the inhabitants. Okay. And now the Bryce opens up with now what is a shocking revelation. Didn't happen. What? What? How can that be? So Tana, so let's read the Bryce together. We'll see. Tana Tzira lo avra imahem. The Tzira didn't go with them. So, v'lov, ha'ksiv, v'shalachti esa Tzira lefanecha. And the Gemara, the Bryce immediately asks, what do you mean? The Pasuk says it happened, or it's going to happen. So, and it didn't happen? So, I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish. So, asfas yardin amda zarka ben mara. So, simta ine milamala, v'sir sam milamata, shenemar. Vanochi shmarati es ha'emarim mipneim asher kigova razim. Gavu v'chason hu ka'alonim. V'ashmid peryom mima'al. Visharashav mitachas. So the Reish Lakish understanding is as follows. The Tzira positioned themselves by the Yardain. They threw their poison, or right, or whatever, you know, I forgot the English language. Venom. Right, whatever venom they had, so that they spat out, and that's what caused all the damage. And over here, by quoting the Pasuk in Amos, so the Gemara darshins that it blinded them, it emasculated them, meaning that the venom did some real, real damage. But in other words, but to understand the Brisa versus the Pasuk says that the Tzira went in, the Brisa says not exactly. And the Reish Lakish understanding is that they positioned themselves by the Yardain and they threw the venom in, but the Tzira themselves didn't go in. Rapapa Amar Shteit Tzira Savai Chad Demosh V'Chad Yeshua Demosh Lo Avar. Yeshua of our Rapapa gives a different solution. And that is that there was the Tzira of Moshe and the Tzira of Yeshua. The Tzira of Moshe did not go in, but the Tzira of Yeshua did in fact go in. Okay. And not that I fully understand Rapapa's solution to the problem, but I understand, we all understand what the problem is. Okay. Now we are going to spend a little more time with the Brachas of Har Gerizim and Har Eival. And yes, the Gemara has spent significant time last number of days going over Har Gerizim Har Eival here in the seventh parak of Sota. So we are going to be hearing a lot of that and more of that this morning. Shisha Shvatim Alu L'Rosh Har Gerizim. So six went up to Har Gerizim. Now, we are going to be noticing a couple of psukim here in Sefer Yehoshua. So where are we in Yehoshua? So at this point this morning, everybody here knows, myself included. And that is at the end of Parak Ches. Okay, now I'm just going to read a sampling of the psukim over there, so that we understand and appreciate what is going to be driving the next point of the Gemara. So just everyone take a moment to listen. I'm not reading the Gemara right now. I'm just reading the Pesukim in Yehoshua. V'chol Yisrael uzekeinav. This is now Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'chol Yisrael uzekeinav v'shoshim v'shoftav omdim mizeh umizeh. Chetzio el mul har grizim v'chetzio el mul har eval. So half on Har Gerizim and half on Har Eival. This is the description in Sefer Yehoshua. Kasher tivah Moshe eved Hashem laverech etz am Yisrael b'rishona. Exactly as per the instructions of Moshe. Now, the Pasuk says that they were divided. Now it says, v'hechatzyu. V'hechatzyu, that's a very specific division. And what the Gemara now is going to be focusing on is exactly that specific division. My v'hechatzyu. Am Rav Kana k'derech shechalukim kan. Okay, so the first approach of the Gemara, it belongs to Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says that the division that takes place here by Har Gerizim and Har Eival is going to be the same division by Avnei Eifod. Okay, over here, a little more explanation. Okay, as far as Har Gerizim and Har Eival is concerned, so the Psukim back in Kisavo are very clear. And that is, Eli Amdula Verachis Amal Har Gerizim Ba'avrachem Es Yardain. So here, this is Perek Chav Zayin of Devarim. And that is Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Binyamin. So on one mountain, those Shvatim, Ve'eli, Amdu, Alaklala, Bar Eval, Reuven, Gad, Vasher, Zvulun, Dan, V'Naftali. Okay. So, Just like I have a clear division of the Shvatim, so too Avni Ephod. Okay, so the so on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol, so he had two Avni Ephod. And they on them, so you had all 12 Shvatim written out. Now here the Psukim do not say which Shvatim go on which stone. All the Psukim say Shisha Mishmosam 11 Achas, Veshmosa Shisha Nosarim 11 Ashenis, Kisoldo sum. However, it is confusing because the pasuk there says kitoldo sum. Sounds like the order is going to be like their birth. Okay, so according to Rav Kahana, just like we have the division by Har Grizim and Har Eval, so too by the Avnei Ephod. So Meisve, the Gemara says, okay, Rav Kahana, let's see if you're right, because we're going to now quote a brisa. The brisa reads Shtei Avanim. Tovos, hayu lo lekohen gadol ksefa v'achas mikan v'achas mikan nishmos shnei masar shvatim kasuv aleihem shisha eleven zu v'shisha eleven zu shenamar shisha mishmosam eleven echas and shnia kitoldo sam. Now, the on the second stone, so that's going to follow order of birth. Meaning, according to this brisa, only the second stone is going to follow the order of birth, which is on the second stone, Gad Asher Yisachar Zvulun Yosef and Binyamin. But on the first stone, so not order of birth. Mimneshi Yehuda muktam, because Yehuda was put first on the first stone. Meaning, according to this brisa, I know the pasuk by the Ephod says kitoldo sam, but according to the brisa, here's how you read the brisa, right? It is a really, really nuanced reading of the pasuk. The pasuk says shisha mishmosam al even ha'echas, and then Shmo shisha nosrim al even hashenis kitoldo sam is only modifying even hashenis according to this brisa. Okay, and it comes out also another observation by the brisa v'chamishim osios hayu esrim v'chamish al even zu v'esrim v'chamish al even zu. As far as now counting out the letters, what you're going to notice is that on both stones it's going to be exactly 25 letters. Okay, now here I'm going to allow you to do this for homework tonight, and that is actually write out each of the names, and you're going to count 25. In a moment, the Gemara is going to point out the numbers don't seem to work, but that's coming up in just a moment. Okay, now and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, as we now turn to the Amud Beis, lo kederach shechalukim b'chumash abkudim, so chalukim be'avnei Ephod, so not the way that they are divided in the beginning of Bamidbar, that's Chumash HaPekudim, are they going to be dividing the Ephod? Ela, Kiderach Shechaluk Mechumashani. So look at Chumashani. Chumashani is Shmos, what we call Shmos. So the Brice over here refers to as Chumashani, right? The names of Chumashim, right? It's sometimes we just use the first word. Now, when I say sometimes, by the way, I mean every time. We use the first or second word in order to name the Chumash. It's not a thematic name of the Chumash. Bracious happens to work out perfectly, meaning it's the first word and it's also the theme. But that's not true by all the Chumashim. Anyway, the Brice over here describes Shmos as Chumash Hasheni. So, Ela Kederach Shechalukim B'Chumash Hasheni. Keitzad. So, B'nei Leah Kisidran. And B'nei Rachel Echad Mikan V'Echad Mikan. So, here's how it's going to work. So, on the, meaning according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So, here is how the names are going to divide between the two Avnei Ephod. On one, so they're going to write the B'nai Leah in order, meaning that's going to be Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulan. And on the second stone, B'nai Rachel, Echa Mikan ve'Echa Mikan. So, in other words, you're going to have on stone number two, you're going to have Yosef and Binyamin on the two ends of second stone. And then in between them, B'nai Shvachos, Be'emtsa. So, Ve'ela Mayin, Mekayim, Kedol, Osam. Now, according to Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, what do I do with the words toldosam? Kishmosam shakara lehem aviyam, velo kishema shakara lehem Moshe. Meaning, that's the way the father named them and not the way Moshe named them. Reuven velo Reuveni, Shimon velo Shimoni, Dan velo Adani, Vigad velo Agadi. So toldosam just is not talking about the order of their birth, but rather it's a description of just simply using the names that was used by Yaakov, not by Moshe. So anyway, Tiyufta de Rav Kahana Tiyufta. So as far as Rav Kahana is concerned, so we had just had a brisa which had not one but two different opinions, neither of them or in accordance with Rav Kahana. The Gemara says, okay. So Rav Kahana, so his position is not supported by a brisa, refuted. Okay. And again, by the way, I'm sure you're thinking it. I'll give voice to it. Meaning, and it's a machlokus to what ends? Meaning, halachically speaking, why do we need to know this? I guess making the big day kahuna is a mitzvah. So when you're making the big day kahuna, you have to make them correctly. And so knowing the order of the names on the ephod, on the avne ephod is part of making correct clothing. So I guess just for the mitzvah of making it correct. So ve'elamai ve'hechatziu. So when now we go back to the pasuk in Yoshua about the division of the shvatim, Ahar Grizim, and Ahar Eval, so it says hechatziu, which is talking about some sort of precise division. Now according to Rav Kahana, so he thought he had it, and that is that you know what precise division we're talking about. You see how they're divided by Har Grizim and Har Eval, which is written in the Torah. Do that for the Ephod. That's Rav Kahana. But now what the problem is that we have Rav Kahana being totally unsupported. There is no brisa that goes like Rav Kahana. So now we have to go back to Vehechatziu, and we have to offer now another pshat. That's what the Gemara does. Ve'elamai Vehechatziu. So Tanu Chetzio Shomul Har Grizim Meruba Mechetzio Shel Har Eval. So what it means is that the division over here is that there's going to be more on Har Grizim than there are on Har Eval. Mimnei Shalevi Lamata. And that is because Levi now is not on the mountain, but he's in between the mountain. Adarabba, Mimnei Shalevi Lamata, Batzulahu. The Gemara says, I don't understand. So Levi not being on the mountain doesn't add, it takes away. So Hachi Kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, what the Braisa meant is the following. Afalpi Shalevi Lamata, it's true. In other words, Levi did go in the middle. In other words, I know in the Psukim, this part is confusing. I already noted this once before. And that is that in the Psukim in Kisavo, Levi is on the mountain, and meanwhile, he's taken off and put in between the two mountains. Okay. So, and Levi should have been in Har Grizim. So even though Levi should have been in Har Grizim, but meanwhile, for the purposes of Brach and Klala, he's going to now go in between. And despite that, that's how the Brice is to be read. Afal Pisha Levi Lamata, so B'nai Yosef Imahem. But still, B'nai Yosef is on Har Grizim. And Shenemra Vayidabra B'nai Yosef, Es Yoshua Leimor, Madun Asati Linachal Agaral Achad, V'chevel Achad, V'ani Am Rav. V'yomar Leim Yoshua, Im Am Rav Ata, Alei Lecha Hayyara. So anyway, just the puzzling Yeshua clearly indicates that the Bnei Yosef are numerous and have a large population. And so what the Braisa meant is that Har Grizim, in other words, you take Levi away because Levi is going to go below. But meanwhile, they did have Bnei Yosef. Bnei Yosef was just simply large. Okay. And that's what we're going to do with the Hechatziu. Hechatziu means is that it's a division, but it's not an equal division. More are going to be on Har Grizim than on Har Eval. Okay. Amar lehem lechu. Okay, Ad Kan, that more or less brings us to the end of the description here of Har Grizim and Har Eval. Admittedly, complicated discussion regarding how are they divided, what to do with Shevet Levi, the pasuk in Yoshua that describes some sort of unique division, Hechatziu, and what to do exactly with that Hechatziu. We had the Rav Kahana interpretation of Hechatziu. The Gemara had to give an alternative definition because Rav Kahana's position is an unsupported position. Okay, admittedly, there was a lot to take into account over here in the Gemara that we just did. Amar Lehem. We're on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. We're about a quarter of the way down, not even, and Amar Lehem. So this is now, we just cited a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua in the 17th Perek, where basically Bnei Yosef now are complaining. Right, Yeshua had a really tough job. In other words, he had to divide Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim. Granted, he did Al Pi Goral, but still, you get what you get, and you get a little bit upset. So the Bnei Yosef were upset because they had a lot. They had a large population, and Yeshua gave them advice, and the Gemara now is just going to go a little bit over what exactly the advice was. Amar Lehem, Lechu Ve'ech Biyuatz Mechem Biyarim. Shalot Yishlop Bechem Ein Hara. So Yeshua says to Bnei Yosef, what's your complaint exactly? There are too many of you. You know what? I got a great idea. Go hide. Meaning, if you're large in number, so now that makes you more susceptible to the Ayin Hara. And so what you want to do is you want to hide. Go to the forest. Go hide in the forest. Okay. Just simple pshat. I'm just saying simple pshat. So Amrulei Zari Yosef lo shalta bein ebisha dichsiv ben paras Yosef ben paras Yosef ben paras alei ayin v'amir Rabbi Abba alti kore alei ayin ela ole ayin. And we all know we get to hear this in the Gemara time and again, and that is Yosef and all of his progeny are not susceptible to the ayin hara. And so when Yeshua says to them, go hide because you're more susceptible to the ayin hara, their response is very simple. We're not susceptible to the ayin hara. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chinan Amar, Mehacha, Vayidgu Lerov, Beker Va'aretz, Madagim Shabiyam, Amay Mechasim Aleim, Ein Ha'ayin Sholatis Behem, Avzara Shal Yosef, Ein Ha'ayin Sholatis Behem. And just another limud in terms of why Yosef is impervious to the ayin hara. The bracha that Yaakov gave to Yosef is v'yidgu l'rov. The Yosef, you're going to be like fish. Fish go under the water, and they can't be seen, and so therefore they are not seen. So Yosef and all of his shevet cannot be seen, meaning they're impervious to the ayin hara. So fine. So and adkan. Meaning, and how did Yoshua counter that argument? Don't know. That's where the Gemara finishes off that particular narrative. Hani chamishim osios chamishim nechichada havyan. Okay, now on the Avni Eifod, according to one position in the Braisa, it was perfectly balanced, where you have the Shvatim of Leah on one stone, you have then the rest, the Bnei Rachel and the Bnei Shvachos on the other stone. Perfectly balanced of 25 and 25 letters each. Okay, now here, the Gemara, we didn't do the math together, the Gemara did. And the Gemara says, Hani chamishim osios, chamishim nechichad ahavyan, actually counted out, and it's 40, and it's not 50, it's 49. Okay, and again, if you were to do the math right now, you'd find out the same thing, it's 49. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef osifulo, os achash and emar edus be Yosef, samo b'tzeis ol Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef was given an additional letter, meaning Yaakov called him Yosef, but then the Navi in Tehillim gave him an additional hey, Yehosef. So Maskel Rav Nachman Yitzchak told us some be'inan. Now wait one second. Didn't we just learn together how were the names written? The way Yaakov described them. And Yaakov called Yosef, Yosef without the hey. Ela kol ha-Torah kula binyamin ksiv. V'hacha binyamin shalem k'dichsiv aviv karalo binyamin. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll account for that in that missing letter. And that missing letter is not the extra hey in Yosef, because again, it's true in Tehillim. So the Navi gives them an additional hey for reasons we're about to articulate, but that's not it. In other words, because the names are written as Yaakov called Yosef Yosef, not Yehosef. So, but rather it's the extra yud and binyamin, right? And this, we have this discussion time and again throughout the Gemara. I'm thinking of the Gemara in Kiddushin at the end of that first perek, which Amir Tzashem we're going to get to sometime summer, after the summer. Anyway, it's coming up, right? Two more Masechtas and Seder Nashim, Gittin and Kiddushin. So meanwhile, sometimes Psukim are written Malay and sometimes are written Chaser, right? Aharon, right? Here's a good example, right? Is there a Vav between the Resh and the Nun? Okay, so sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Depends.
Right. So, and obviously, right. Messaging in terms of meaning, deep meaning in terms of whether it has a vav or no, doesn't. So sometimes malach, sometimes chaser. So the Gemara now notes most of the time you're going to see binyamin, it's going to be chaser. It will not have the yud between the mem and the nun. But when Yaakov called him binyamin, he had the yud. So when written on the avni eifod, so you have the yud. So the reason why the Gemara thought it was 49 is because the Gemara was considering Binyamin chaser. But then, now the Gemara is noting that it's written on the stones Malay, because that's how Yaakov described it. Yaakov described it as Malay. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasira Yosef, Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Seiser. So see for Lavo Sechas Mishmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Yehuda. She Kiddush Shem Shemayim B'Farayasir Nikra Kulal Shmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. And now side by side comparison between Yosef and Yehuda. Yosef was Mikadosh Shem Shemayim, but he did so privately. One letter of God's name is added to Yosef. Yehuda, on the other hand, who is Mikadosh Shem Shemayim publicly, so the entire Shem Hashem is incorporated into the name of Yehuda. Of the five letters of the name of Yehuda, he has the Shem Hashem, the four letter Shem Hashem, included in that name. So Yosef, Ma'ihi Dichsiv, Ayiva, Yomazev, Yavo, by Salasos Malachtam, Rabbi Yochanan, Malam Shishneim, Ledvar Aver Niskavno, here we are. on Daf Lamed Vav in Sota, going over the famous Gemara regarding Yosef and Eishes Potiphar. And the Gemara over here gives a description which, had it not been for the Gemara, like, I never would have suggested. And that is, Yosef is going in order to be with Eishes Potiphar. Now, if you read the Psukim, so the impression that you get is that he was innocent from beginning to end, and there was no thought of him transgressing. And meanwhile, our Gemara over here gives, right, a different perspective, and that is no. In other words, on one day he was ready to cave and to give into temptation. And he goes to the house in order to do his work. And the Gemara says the word work is ambiguous. And Rav and Shmuel, we have a machlokas. In other words, he had some sort of work that he needed to do in the house. And v'chanamar lasos rachav nechnas. In other words, no. The other interpretation is that he was there to do his work, but work is to be understood euphemistically. V'eni shemanshei abayis. So efshar abayis gadol kebeso shalos rasha and lo yoboish. And now nobody was home. And the Gemara wonders, what does that mean? Nobody was home. Tana debe Rabbi Yishmael oso ayom yom chagama yavachul kulam lebeis avodas kochavim shalahem. It was some sort of pagan holiday, and everyone was at the temples worshiping. And she says that she's sick. So Amra, Ainli Yomshin Isgakli Yosef Kiyamazeh. What a fantastic opportunity. Meaning that we're going to be alone together because everyone's going to be in the temple, and I'll just, you know, I'll call in sick, and I'm going to stay home. And she was by herself. But also Sha'abasa Diyukun Sha'aviv and Nira Lo Bechalon. And here we have the famous Gemara. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. It is today's daf, Sota Lamed Vav. And that is that as Yosef goes in, and he is actually considering of being with Eishes Potiphar, so Diuk Nosho Aviv, an image of his father came and appeared to him Bechalon, in the window. And Amar lo Yosef, Atida Machicha, Sheikhtavu, Avni Eifod, Ve'ata B'neim. You know in the future, so you're going to be written on the Avni Eifod. That's what you were supposed to do. And you're going to be one of the names on the Avni Eifod. And now what? You're going to be with Eishes Potiphar, and you're no longer going to be eligible to be written on the stones. And you know what people are going to call you? People are going to call you basically that you're with a zona. The pasuk in Mishlei describing how I don't know why recently we just quoted this pasuk also that when you're with zonas, so you lose your fortune. That's the pasuk in Mishlei. And I pointed out the simple pshat is because it costs money.
So how come the same warning was not given to you with this zona?
Oh, okay. Hold it. Let's just finish. And I'm not going to have an answer to your question, but I love the question. So miyad v'teisha be'ethan kashto. So what did Yosef do? So he comported himself. He put himself together. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. So Shava Kashto le'esano. So the kashto, literally bow and arrow over here, but it's a reference to the zera that was that he was excited and it was ready to come out. So it didn't come out. It went back in and retreated. Vayafoz zareya dov. So and the Gemara quotes more of this pasuk. So and the Gemara darshins. So natz yadav bekarka. And Yasa Sheikh Vazer mi bain Tziporne Yadav. Okay, now I admit, by the way, this is going to be a difficult Gemara to try to explain. I'm not going to try to explain it. I'll just translate the Gemara. And that is that instead of the Zerah going out in the natural organ in which it exits, so because Yosef comported himself and he really restrained himself, so the Zerah went out rather through his hands than rather through the fingernails of his hands. I translated it. Obviously, the Gemara has much more meaning than the translation. Let's move on. Mi de Avir Yaakov, mi garam lo. And now that Yosef's name remained on the Avni Ephod, that was because of the image that came to him. Yaakov was able to provide for him the strength necessary in order for Yosef to withstand temptation. Misham roeh ben Yisrael, Misham zachav naaseh roeh. Yosef remained a shepherd. Shenemar roeh Yisrael, hazino noeh ketzon Yosef. Okay, and Yosef was able to remain a shepherd for the people. Time is up. Music's going to start. Okay, for those here, that's a joke only for the locals that are here. Okay, so we're going to pause over here. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end. And Ben's question, which I also was thinking, in other words, Yosef was given a Diuk Noshal Aviv, and Reuven was not given a Diuk Noshal Aviv, and Yehuda was not given a Diuk Noshal Aviv, and why Yosef was given a Diuk Noshal Aviv, right? An image of the father that was able to help him withstand. Okay, excellent question. I don't have an answer. Okay, today's daf. Quick recap of today. And that is that we went back to the stones and the crossing of the Yarden and the Hakama of three sets of stones, one by Moshe, two by Yoshua. Okay, and then we went over the Braisa of everything that transpired in the course of one day, crossing of the Yarden, the traverse all the way to Har Gerizim and Har Eival, according to the Braisa. It's not the only opinion, but according to the Braisa, 60 mil interior into Eretz Yisrael. The brachos that were given to Har Gerizim and Har Eival, the return back to Gilgal, the setting up the stones in Gilgal, the writing of the Torah on those stones, all that occurred in the course of one single day. And obviously, the only way you can explain that is Al Yedei Derech Nes. In other words, naturally speaking, that is not going to be happening in the course of one day. Notably, right, the splitting of the Yarden, obviously, the water piling up, going back to a previous daf, all that occurred in the course of one single day. Okay, that was the that was most of the Amud Aleph of today's daf. That was the beginning. The tzira, right? The fly that's going to accompany the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael to allow for easy conquest of the Canaanim. So what happened to that tzira? So the Braisa tells us it didn't go in, and the Pasuk says it did go in, and the Amoraim gave a couple of suggestions in terms of how to understand that. The division of the Shvatim by Har Gerizim and Har Eival. There is nothing to talk about over there because the Psukim back in Kisavo tell us exactly how they're divided. Now the Pasuk in Yoshua says, Hechatzu, you know, the division. So what does that mean? So Rav Kahana asserted in the Amud Aleph of today's daf that division over there corresponds to the division on the Avnei Ephod. We know, there's the music, we know the Avnei, predictable, the Avnei Ephod. So the Torah does not tell us how the Shvatim were set up on the Avnei Ephod, according to Rav Kahana, same by Har Gerizim and Har Eival. The Braisa, taking us now to the Amud Beis, says no, that the division of the Shvatim and Har Gerizim and Har Eival, two opinions amongst the Atanaim, neither of them are like Rav Kahana. Good. And then Yosef's being Mekadeshem Shemayim B'Seser, and therefore an additional letter, Yehuda's Mekadeshem Shemayim B'Faresya, all four letters of Shem Hashem are in Sheva Yehuda. We will pause over here.